بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. When we were born, we had no choice but to be born. And we actually had very little choice at that time. We couldn't choose our parents, our birthplace, or the day of our birth, or anything else for that matter. We had absolutely no say and no choice whatsoever. As we grow, we begin to make choices in nearly every area of our lives, from the very simple things and decisions to the very serious and complicated decisions. Yet still, sometimes we are faced with a situation or with situations that are not of our choosing. So for example, illnesses and tragedies can sometimes bring quick and drastic changes to our lives without any warning, let alone choice. A person may be living normally, and within seconds, within minutes, their life may be completely changed forever. This happens every day. We may witness it, we may not, we may hear about it, but that's the reality. And those who are affected, most of the time, they don't have the choice to choose whether they want to be in that situation or not. It happens, and they have no choice. And sadly, there could be much pain and suffering. So much so that at times, it may appear, it may seem that death is the only way to overcome it. Sometimes there is so much pain and so much suffering that there appears to be only one way out, and that is death. So the question of euthanasia or assisted suicide comes up from time to time. And it's currently a topic of discussion. It has been for some time, on and off. But this morning, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that doctors can help some people end their lives. Because until today, this, and even now, it is something which is illegal in most of the country. Quebec has talked about this, and it has been more of a topic of discussion there. But in other jurisdictions, this is not something considered to be legal or appropriate, but today, this morning, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that there is to be some flexibility regarding those laws. So it is important, my brothers and sisters, to be clear on the Islamic perspective on life, disease, and death. And first of all, we must start off by understanding why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created life and death. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created death and He created life. Why? To try which of you is best in conduct. To test and to try us to see which one of us is best in conduct. So it should be very clear that our life and everything that it brings or that comes to us during our life from beginning to end is a test. And the beginning of which and the end of which is Allah's domain. Just as we didn't have any choice in the beginning to be born or not, and the day and our gender and our parents and our location, we had no choice. In the same way, just as we came in, When it's time to go out, that also is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what is going to happen in our life. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us very clearly what is this life about, what's going to happen, and that we will be tested. We will surely test you. Something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, fruits. But وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to the patient. Give good news, give glad tidings to those who are patient. So these tests, and this verse indicates to us, that these tests are going to be different for each individual. They're going to take different forms. So each person, each individual is going to be tested. But we're all going to be tested in our own way. Some are blessed, while others are less fortunate. Right? Each individual faces difficulties of varying degrees and featuring different types of challenges. Right? So everyone has to face some challenge, some test. This is what life is about. But the nature and the form of that test may vary from person to person. Yet the rules of the test are the same. The rules of the test are: exert patience when facing difficulties. Be grateful for all of Allah's favors upon you. Try to resolve the situation to the best of your ability. Try to make it better. Right? So it's not that we're complacent. We just sit back, kick back, and just, you know, give up. And okay, this is what Allah's will, so that's it. You know, I'm not going to do anything. No. Right? So we try our best, our reasonable best, to use whatever means are available to us to improve the situation, whichever appropriate means are available to us. And we exert patience. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the blessings that He still, despite the challenges, is bestowing upon us. And ultimately, Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the most compassionate and the most just, we know this, we believe this. So Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the most compassionate and the most just, will never try a person beyond their endurance. As He tells us in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not charge a soul except with that which is within its capacity. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make us accountable, make us responsible, put upon us that which we are not able to bear. And any perceived injustice, any perceived injustice will be rectified in the hereafter, in the akhirah. Because we look around, and this happens, right? We look around, we're in some difficulty, there's others who are not. There are others who are not, whether it's regarding our health, whether it's regarding our finances, whether it's regarding our marital life, so on and so forth. We look at others and we say, you know, life is not fair. Life is not fair. The world is not fair. You know, there's people who are enjoying and they're putting oppression, and they're, you know, among the richest people in the world. And nothing happens to them. They get sick. And they get cured again. Whereas another person who is suffering already gets sick and doesn't get cured as quickly. And so we look at all this and say, okay, what's going on here? Right? What's happening? Things are not fair. There's something which is, you know, and it starts bothering us sometimes. To the point where we're starting, you know, sometimes questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's important to understand is that any perceived injustice will be rectified. You see, we look at the short term, right? So we're looking at today, tomorrow, the next few months, our lifetimes. And we're saying this is not fair. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just looking at this life, He's looking at the afterlife as well. Right? He's looking at the big picture. And everything is going to be fair and everything is going to be just. Right? So don't worry about that, because Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, وَمَا أَنَا بِظُلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Right? And never will I be unjust to the servants. Right? That's not one of the characteristics and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's going to be unjust, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to commit oppression. No, that's not going to happen. Right? And Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has told us, has addressed, you know, afflictions and hardships. And we've talked about this many times in the past. that there is, you know, whenever a Muslim is afflicted with a hardship, sickness, a sadness, a worry, a harm, or depression, even the pricking of a thorn, what does it do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates his sins because of it, or her sins because of it. So anything that comes our way, any difficulty, no matter how severe, or no matter how minor it may be, you have to go crash the bus. It's like a minus 35 wind chill. Right? You're just like standing there, bus is not coming, and you know, your wind's blowing into your face, and you're like afraid your nose is going to fall off because of frostbite or whatever, you know? It's okay. What has the Prophet ﷺ told us? You're getting something out of that. There's some benefit out of that. Right? So even, you know, we joke about it. But yeah, it's, you know, I was walking to the, when I was younger and I was at university, I was like walking to the train station. It's like minus 35 or something. It's like a 7-minute walk, running late, wind is blowing around my face, a beard turning white, right? I'm just like thinking, why did my parents ever come and settle here, you know, in this igloo? Like, why don't I just go down south or something, right? Or out west, you know? But alhamdulillah, right? Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Allah in every situation. And no matter how severe the difficulty, no matter how or how minor, inshallah there will be some good that comes out of it, there will be some benefit for bearing it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us that on the day of resurrection, when people who have suffered afflictions are given their reward, okay, so these are people who suffered in this life, who suffered in this world, afflictions, diseases, problems, right? When they are given their reward, those who were healthy will wish that their skins had been cut to pieces with scissors when they were in this world. Meaning that the reward is going to be so great that when people look at them, they'll say, oh, we wish we had also gone through some pain and suffering in this world so that we could also have that reward. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair. And Allah azza wa jal will reward every single person, regardless of who they are, in one way or the other, and everything will be fair. Now the time and place of our passing, and that has to happen one day. Right? We don't like to talk about it, we don't like to think about it. Right? But it's going to happen one day. Right? You're going to be offering my janazah one day. Right? It's going to happen. Yeah, me, like the person who's standing in front of you talking right now. Right? You will be offering my janazah. Well, maybe not you. I don't know where I will be. But inshallah, there will be someone. Hopefully. Inshallah, who will be offering my janazah. So this is something which is going to happen, right, to every single one of us. Regardless of how much we try to avoid it and not think about it, or we're taught to be afraid of it, but really, come on. It's like there's no human being who has ever lived on the face of this earth who hasn't faced that, right? So you might as well talk about it and think about it and just be realistic, okay? So it's going to happen one day. And the time and date and the place has all been predetermined by Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly where I'm going to take my last breath. Okay? So that has already been predetermined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. It is not possible for one to die except by permission of Allah at a decree determined. Kitab mu'ajjala, right? It's like, it's done. It's sealed. The command is in. Right? There's no turning back. There's no changing that. It's already there. It's just that we don't know about it. We don't know about it, but it's already there. It's already been determined. Okay? So when it comes to our death, it is not something in our control, even if it may appear that way. It is not something which is in our control, even if it may seem so sometimes. Okay. Now when a person tries to take their own life, right, which is something which is prohibited, if Allah Azza wa Jal has decided that their life is going to end there, then death prevails. It happens. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that that is not the time for them to die, then the attempt is unsuccessful. Right? Not every suicide attempt is successful. Right? There's actually many people who do that. You know, you don't have a subway in Ottawa, but in cities where there are subway systems, In the media, there's actually an unwritten rule that we don't report on suicides, right? Generally, and they happen a lot, especially in cities with subways and metro systems, right? It's not something which is reported. You hear about an interruption, you know, you hear about a service interruption or something, or that line is closed, and they won't tell you the reason as to why it happened, because the concern is that people will try to do the same, they'll get ideas, right? So that's something which is not reported. So, a person's attempt to take their own life may be successful, it may not be successful, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suicide encroaches upon Allah's sole right to decide how, when, and where one's test is going to end. And the soul is to transition into the next life. Okay, this is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah azza wa jal is the one who decides that. Where is my test going to end? When is it going to end? And how is it going to end? When am I going to transition into the next stage of my existence? This is solely the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a decision that only He knows best about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Do not kill yourselves, for verily God is to you most merciful. Commentators of the Quran, Mufassirun, have interpreted in different ways. Some have said that, you know, don't kill yourselves among, you know, each other as a community. And also, some commentators have written that this includes suicide as well. So don't go out and take your own life. Now, in some circumstances, death may appear to be a relief from ongoing suffering. Right? And this is not to minimize the suffering. Right? There are situations and circumstances where there are people, fellow human beings, right, our brothers and sisters in faith and in humanity, right, who are undergoing terrible suffering, lots of pain, constant, chronic. Right? So this is not to minimize it or to say that, you know, it's nothing serious. It is serious, but death may appear to be sometimes the only way to come out of that. And the Prophet ﷺ has addressed that, has given us guidance regarding that. Where he says, لَا يَتَمَنَّ يَنَّ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ ضُرٍ أَصَابَهُ, that none of you should wish for death because of some harm that has befallen him. None of you should wish for death because of some harm that has befallen him. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدًّا فَاعِلًا فَلْيَقُلْ, that if he must do that, like if he really feels that that is the only way out, if a person feels that that is really the only solution that they can see, it's not really a solution, but just a way, an escape out of their predicament, out of their pain and their suffering, فَلْيَقُلْ, then he should say this. And the Prophet ﷺ has given us a dua, right? And it's a conditional dua, right, that you make. That Allahumma ahyini ma kanat al-hayatu khayran li. That, oh Allah, keep me alive for as long as life is good for me. Keep me alive for as long as life is good for me, is in my best interest. Atawaffani idha kanat al-wafatu khayran li. And cause me to die when death is good for me, when that is the right option for me. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows. Right? We may think that we know what is in our best interest. And of course, many times we are taught and we are told that we use our means, our intellect, our senses, our knowledge, our experience to base our decisions on. Right? But at the end of the day, we must recognize that it is only and only Allah Azza wa Jal who knows what is truly best for us. This is why we're taught to do istikhara as well. Right? And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ say that he used to teach them the dua of istikhara and the method of doing it like it was a surah of the Quran, like it was so common, like it was something to be used so regularly. For even, you know, we usually go for istikhara when it's like something major, you know, like getting married, buying a house, or changing employment or whatever, right? Something serious. But no, it was done for just simple things as well, because we always are in need of Allah's guidance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows what is going to happen to us in the future. He knows what is in store for us. We don't know. We don't know with certainty. We may be able to forecast, right, predict, but we don't know for sure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows for sure. So that is why we always should be turning to Allah for guidance when it comes to our matters and our decisions, including when it comes to feeling despondent to the point that where we feel that death is the only option. So instead of wishing for death, and this is why the ruling is that we should never make dua for death upon ourselves. If we find ourselves in that type of predicament, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. If we ever find ourselves in that situation, then this is the dua to make. Now for a person or a state institution to kill a person, even with consent, because we were talking about someone who's saying, look, I'm too ill, I'm in too much pain, doctor, please help kill me. Okay, take my life. Okay, so even with consent, is even more serious with suicide than suicide. It is even more serious than suicide because life is sanctified. Right? We know that life is sanctified, and taking a life is only permissible in limited circumstances. Right? That is the exception to the rule. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Right? So the exception is that yes, if you have due cause, if you have a legitimate reason, then in certain cases that may be allowed, but this is not a due cause, a just cause for taking a life. Right? To say that I'm in too much pain, take my life, is not a just cause. So if the person who is assisting and who is actually, I mean, if you think about it, they're actually the ones who are doing it, right? Because the person themselves would not be able to do it. That's why they're asking for help. So the person who's actually doing it is committing murder. Okay, this is classified. This is not a just cause for taking life. And essentially what it is an act of murder. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. You know, it can be a very challenging time when a loved one is placed on life support, or you know, a situation is diagnosed to be hopeless. And among scholars, there is a difference of opinion when it comes to whether treatment and all available means must be taken or not to save a life, even if a situation is hopeless. Okay? So if you have a situation, if you have someone who's ill, okay, if you're ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, grant you good health. Okay, but let's say I'm ill, okay? If I am ill and I don't want treatment for whatever reason, or I have a terminal illness, is it permissible for me to refuse treatment? Or should all forms of treatment be explored and be used even if my situation appears to be hopeless? So there's a difference of opinion among scholars regarding treatment and medication. Most of them maintain that, you know, of course it is permissible to seek treatment. Some maintain that it is recommended. A few of them deem it to be obligatory. Okay. So some of the scholars have deemed seeking medical attention, taking medication, to be obligatory. Some maintain that it's recommended, and others say that it is permissible, so it's not something which is obligatory. So therefore, based on this, some of the scholars have written that any and all means necessary must be taken to save a life. Right? So this is the view that says that it is obligatory to use whatever means necessary to save a life. Unless the patient is brain dead, or their heart and breathing have completely and irreversibly stopped. Okay, so according to this view, you must seek medical attention unless a patient is brain dead, or their heart and their breathing have stopped completely and irreversibly. So there's no chance of bringing it back according to the expert doctors. Many other scholars have said, and you'll find different views because this is an area which actually hasn't been explored very much. Okay, this is an area that has actually not been explored very much, especially when it comes to issuing a DNR, a do not resuscitate order. So many others have said that it may be permissible in certain cases to issue a DNR. DNR is a do not resuscitate order, which means that if a person is under cardiac arrest, the heart stops breathing or something happens to them and they need assistance, they can have that order that they are not given any help. They don't want to receive any assistance to revive them. So, okay, so they basically want to be left alone. So Many others have said that it may be permissible in certain cases to issue such an order and not to revive a patient if their heart stops, or to refuse life support, or even turn the machine off. This is another predicament that comes upon families many times. If you have a loved one, I'm on life support. You know, how is it ever appropriate to turn it off? Can you refuse it? Can you not? Right? So these are sometimes very difficult and complex issues to deal with. Right? So many of the scholars have said that it may be permissible in certain cases with due consultation and care on the recommendation of three expert doctors who deem the patient's case has no hope of recovery or not fit for resuscitation and death, in their view, is certain. Okay, so there's a lot of conditions around it, as you can see. Okay, not something to be taken lightly. And this doing this will not be with the aim of killing the patient, okay, but rather stopping treatment as it is not leading to a cure, or is likely not to lead to a cure or an improvement in the condition of the patient. And what you're doing is you're letting nature run its course instead and allowing death to come whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed it to come. Okay, so this is an option, but not something to be taken lightly. And in such situations, it is very, very important to consult with a trustworthy person who is knowledgeable, especially when it comes to the Islamic rulings. And it's a good idea to discuss these matters with the family. It's important to discuss these matters with our family members, learn about them, be clear on the instructions and what to do if such a situation ever arises. We never know, right? And things can happen very quickly sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And we must have a clear understanding of what is in our domain of responsibility and what is in the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much, how far can we go, and where do we step back? And this is one of those situations. We must also actively work to build support networks within our communities to offer support to those who are ill, especially those who are terminally ill and their families. You know, we need to have caring communities. Right? We need to have caring communities, people who know what is going on. If there's something going on, you know, they're there to offer assistance, to care and to help, and just provide support, even if it's not financial or, you know, any material support, just to offer emotional support and spiritual care and be there for each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant health and strength to us all. May Allah Azza wa Jal help those who are ill. May He help those who are suffering and grant us all an easy transition into the next world. Ameen wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A few important announcements, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, the iLead conference is coming up, and the date has been finalized.